Welcome back to the At Home Podcast. Today we're continuing the conversation around the book Philippians. The last time you were with us, we discussed Philippians 1 and 2, and today we're going to look at Philippians 3 and 4. And really, there are a couple parts to these books. We're looking at pressing toward the goal, which is Philippians 3, and rejoicing in the Lord, which is Philippians 4. And then we'll kind of look at the thematic approach that Paul had when writing this letter, which surrounds the ideas of unity and contentment. So I'm going to have Dustin and Angie kick us off today.
Well, I thought it was interesting as you look at this timing of our podcast again on a Tuesday afternoon and what is happening. Tuesday afternoon, as we set up here, we're looking outside and it is what, Dustin?
Couldn't be nicer outside. It looks like an awesome day that we get to experience from inside.
So, okay, I have to just tell you, I had a birthday last week. And has anybody watched the movie with the Legally Blonde? And what the perfect day is. Do you know what the perfect day is?
I don't.
Okay. Well, it's actually April 25th. It's not too hot, not too cold.
And that's your birthday?
Yeah.
Of course.
Was the perfect day. It was like the perfect day. Just like today, it is the perfect day. Like, it's not too hot, not too cold. The sun is shining. The wind's not too high.
Things are visibly growing.
What did the family do for your birthday?
Oh, I got to go. Oh, okay. Miss Betty Hand shares my birthday.
Let's go. Shout out to Betty.
I know. And Eleanor, I know she, is maybe listening to this podcast. We all got to go and celebrate our birthdays together because we all have the
same. So what kind of celebration was it, Angie?
We went to the Vine up in Elkhart.
Okay.
And we had ice cream cake at my house afterwards, thanks to my mom.
Shout out Jeannie.
I know. Man, wow. Tina got to come with us.
Shout out Tina. So many people.
I know. She's my buddy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool.
So anyways, yeah. Long story short, it's a nice day. We're in the podcast room talking about Philippians and rejoicing in the Lord. Right, Dustin?
Always. Yes.
So.
Well, where do you guys want to go with Philippians today?
Well, I think in our initial discussion, we talked about this whole idea. When I think of Philippians, and I don't know if either of you guys or a listener, if you think of Philippians, you think of Philippians, 3:14. What's the verse, Dustin? Come on, I press toward the mark for the prize in Christ Jesus. And the whole idea is pressing toward the goal. Like, we're actually on a race, kind of in a way, a training, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the main points there is pressing toward the goal. What does that look like? What's your goal? What's your aim, Dustin, on May 1st, tomorrow, 2024?
Normally, to get through the day is a goal that I have. Keep the kids upright, alive, and breathing is a goal. I think, all jokes aside, I would say, we talked about this a little bit before the podcast, progress, I think, for me is a big goal, you know, in all areas as a dad, as a husband, as a follower of Jesus, progress. I know that looks different for everybody. And sometimes progress is smaller some days than it is other days. But I think always continually looking to improve, to grow, to learn. But progress is a big thing for me.
I think a lot of times I don't sit back and think about what's my goal or what's my aim for the day. I happen to be, I think I mentioned it in the previous podcast, that I've been in a Bible study in Philippians. So I've been sitting in Philippians a little more probably than most of you guys and sitting here, but.
Wow, Angie.
No, I meant like.
I've been so in Philippians.
Like, I literally going verse by verse. That's like, it takes you into a little, I'm sitting there. So I'm doing what we call projects. That's the word, projects. Mm-hmm. So one of the projects is to list the 10 things that's your aim. Mm-hmm. And when you start listing 10 things that your aim for the day and what your mind thinks about, sometimes
that's overwhelming. 10 things in a day. Like,
to think about, I know.
That's a lot. Much. That's a lot.
That's because this is a women's Bible study.
Yeah. Two or three. Yeah.
Wow.
Two or three aims is where I'm at.
Wow.
I say women's Bible study because women think about a lot of things. Yeah. So, listener, if you're a man, I'm pretty sure you probably would agree with these guys. But women, if you're listening, you'd probably say, I think about a lot.
We're going a different direction here, and I'm sorry. But at our house, there's probably like 9 calendars on our fridge for all the different schedules. And there's like a meal calendar. And then there's Nora's, there's Cruz, there's Jack's, there's our family calendar. There's so many things happening and all these calendars. And so I told Teresa, I said, I asked her, I was like, do we really need all of these calendars? It's a little overwhelming. And she's like, you know, what's funny is we have all these calendars and you still never know what's going on. So
Here's your sign.
Truth.
It is. My husband's learned to just, why check the calendar? That's his excuse. But
back to your aims.
But that's the whole idea, is that we all have different aims. And I didn't realize until I did this work, because when we set and we really think about what is my aim, like a lot of times it doesn't have what Christ is at the top, because Paul's saying, you know, I press towards the goal, which is my heavenward goal is Christ Jesus. Like everything I do should be for Christ Jesus. And then when I sat down here and I started listening, I had finances in there at the top of my list. Mm-hmm. I had my schedule. Mm-hmm. I had my kids. I had, you know, jobs, things I had to do. I had my own health, you know, all that stuff. I realized how much time I gave those things.
Yeah.
And so I think when we say pressing towards the goal,
yeah,
it's like, what is our goal? It should be Christ Jesus. It's easy to say that. Right. Would you agree?
Right.
And I think what you're saying is, you're saying progress, because one of my things I've always said is that, you know, it's not about perfection. It's about progress. Because I get caught on that idea, like, well, I should be putting Jesus here every day, every day, every day. Yeah. Did I get up and did I do my devotions first and pray, or did I drink my coffee and look at Facebook, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I just say it's progress. It's learning how to create rhythms of renewal in our lives so that our pressing towards the goal is continually in front of us.
Yeah, I was thinking my word was balance. That's what I'm striving for each day, to balance just work life with family life, with being a dad, with being a husband, and all the things, right? And making sure that I'm still providing the intimacy, the affection, and the care that Francie needs from me as well. And so those balance is a hard thing to do in life, that is, you're evaluated on your efficiency, right, and your productivity. And so just trying to have balance. But, you know, I mentioned all those things, Angie, and it kind of goes along with your aims. Like, a lot of times those things I'm trying to find balance in, Jesus isn't the number one thing.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, what you said a little bit ago, too, was convicting, right? Like, are you getting up and having your morning devotions, or are you just making sure that you have your coffee and you scroll through Facebook? And that's a very real thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
That if I'm not intentional, I could find myself in that valley, in that pit, and trying to create habits that draw me out of it. So balance is my thing.
Well, I think pressing is a verb. So like when Paul says pressing towards the mark, like I think it gives us an aim. Like it gives us a rhythm to wake up. Mm-hmm. Like an athlete doesn't just jump into a marathon. Let's talk about marathons.
Boy, Dustin.
Or like maybe half marathons.
Yeah, let's not get out of control. We're only half.
So tell us a little bit, Dustin. Like, give us a little, you know, history that you just pressing towards the goal. The goal was the marathon half marathon, right?
Just the half. Yeah.
Yeah, coming in really soon, right? Couple weeks.
A couple weeks, yep.
When you say just a half, do you understand how offensive that is to people? Just 13 miles.
But she, getting towards the end of that and thinking, even trying to wrap my mind around doing that again I just don't understand how that's possible for humans to do. But I know that a lot of people do it.
But so, I think what Angie's saying is you can't go out and run the 13 miles.
I would say, hey, Dustin, I'm going to join you in that marathon on May 19th. My poor knees wouldn't make it. Like, you know,
right.
It wouldn't make it. My conditioning wouldn't be ready for it. It would actually probably really hurt yourself.
Set yourself back. Oh, my word.
So, and I just say that because I think we forget that pressing is a training.
Yeah. It's an actionable thing that we have to choose to do every day.
Every day. And we do that through set rhythms. Like, so you may have like five calendars on your fridge, you know, or you may have trying to strive for balance. And I may try to survive and try to keep everything in perspective in my life. But the whole idea is that I have to create rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
I have to create checkpoints, like in a way to say, you know, am I doing this? Am I really pressing towards the goal of Christ? Or am I pressing towards me, myself, and I's goals over here?
Right. And then Paul challenges us too, to with those things that we're pressing into with Christ at the forefront of our minds, to have joy and contentment in all of it. And so, you know, he exemplifies an unwavering trust in God's provision and sovereignty. And I'm not sure that that's always easy to do in our circumstances. And we were talking about this a little bit before the podcast, but as we press towards the goal, there are sometimes hiccups that happen in life, mm-hmm. or things that happen along the way. You know, Angie asked, you know, about my dad's death, and how do you have peace and hope and contentment in those situations? And I think it's hard to explain, right? Like as a believer, and you guys can relate to this, you don't know how to explain it to somebody who's not a believer. I mean, at least I don't. Why I'm handling this in a different way, like still lamenting, still sad, still overwhelmed with grief, but there's something different inside of me. It's not just a feeling, but it's just a knowing that in the end, there's still joy and contentment on the other side of it.
Yeah, I think that's why it's said that it's the peace that surpasses all understanding, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to us how it works, and that's why that peace is something that can't be explained. It's experienced, you know. Yeah. And so when we understand that true peace isn't found in the absence of problems, as I think a lot of us may think of it as, but it's found in the presence of God. That's where that true peace actually lies. And so it's something that is experienced. And I'm working through reading a lot of this in Philippians 4 this week. It's just, I don't know, I've been super convicted and challenged by my own, where am I finding my peace? How am I finding my contentment? Because that is a lot of times when rubber meets road, how we will respond in those situations. Are we going to revert back to our natural, sinful, selfish, whatever reactions in those situations? Or are we gonna recall and rely on on truly the peace that we've been given from God?
I think it ties back to what you even said in that a little bit too, like what you're saying, Dustin, how can we wrap our minds about, like, when we have this really hard thing, but you're saying, I have this really hard thing, but yet I don't understand. Do I trust God? Well, who do you see God? How do you see him? Mm-hmm. How do you believe and know and understand him? And what you believe about God is usually how you live out your life.
Yeah.
Because how you think about who God is and his character and what he does and how he is sovereign, like that word in real time for our lives, is how we're going to act out our faith.
Yeah, it's the whole analogy with when you squeeze a lemonade, lemonade's supposed to come out. Or squeeze a lemon, lemonade's supposed to
come out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And when we get squeezed, that a lot
it
of,
depends on right. how you think about God, what's going to come out in your actions, your belief systems, you know, all those things. And I think it goes back to what, who do you see him being? Do you see him caring for you, loving you? Or do you see him like a, you know, sometimes people see him as a father. And so, you know, if I do something wrong, I'm going to get disciplined, or like he's the big judge, you know, with the gavel going, oh, you're done. You're out, you know? And I think we have to develop how we see God. And Paul did this. I really believe that he has a concept that God is sovereign. He is good. He loves me. And he's wrote all of the, you know, different books in the Bible, Romans. It just sets there and it can resonate in his words, even saying, you know, no matter what, I am his. Right. I am redeemed, you know.
How we see God, and I think even to maybe to just go off of that, I mean, really how we trust God. And Brandon, you wrote a sentence in your blog that I thought was really good. Paul exemplifies an unwavering trust in God's provision and sovereignty. I know it's simple, but just that idea that it's unwavering, and there's this unwavering trust no matter the circumstances or the situations that we find ourselves in. Are we going to have the same trust in those situations as we are when it's a day like today, Tuesday, sunny in the podcast room.
So. Yeah.
Right, and Paul wasn't looking out at the sun in those moments.
That's right.
I mean, you were mentioning he was imprisoned as he's writing these things. And so that's a challenge to even put ourselves in that situation and ask, okay, if we were squeezed that much, what would come out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think what you pointed out even at the beginning is that contentment and unity kind of goes over all of this. Mm-hmm. And I think rejoicing only comes in contentment. Mm-hmm. And I think it only comes in unity too. I really do. I think true rejoicing comes when we are unified with Christ. Mm-hmm. We are unified with the people around us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of rejoicing when Dan and I are, you know, kind of at it in an argument for a couple right. days, like disagreeing on something that we hadn't settled, you know. I mean, maybe you guys live in this like beautiful unity in your homes, but it's you know.
So beautiful. Thank you, Francie.
No, but I mean,
that's a good answer. Well done.
Good. But I mean, I really say that I think the overarching concept of unity and contentment tie to constantly rejoicing in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So how do we get there?
Mm-hmm. Dustin, you got chapter 4 on Sunday. How do we get to this whole idea of rejoicing in the Lord with unity and contentment?
That's exactly right. It's a good question. I don't know if I have an answer. I would just say that reading through it, one of the, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. And I like how he doubled down, you know, he doubles down on it. And I will say it again, you know, and I think I used to always read that as like a, and maybe it was written to be like happy and positive, rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to say it again. But like when I see something.
I just hear the song right now, right. Just so you know, in my head.
When I see something repeated, I'm just thinking from a parent's perspective, maybe he's trying to get the attention. Like, hey, rejoice in the Lord always. Hey, I'm going to say it again in case you didn't hear it the first time or get it the first time. Rejoice. And then, you know, he goes on to talk about, don't worry. And it's like, okay, thanks for that advice. Like, I mean, you want to talk about advice that you're just like, that's not very helpful because there's situations in life that are definitely worry-worthy. But when you think of then how he continues that statement, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything in all situations. And so it really is, I think we talk about that peace, and I think it's a mindset of like, how am I going to react in those moments of uncertainty or those situations that wherever, instead of immediately going to fear, immediately going to doubt, immediately going to overwhelmed or stressed or worried, whatever, instead of immediately following one of those emotions, going to God in prayer and saying, look, I am frustrated. I am confused. I am tired. I am all these things, but I'm going to come to you in prayer. And then it says, and I think it's the NLT, but it says, then you will experience the peace that surpasses
all understanding.
So
it's a formula.
It is. It leads up to it. I mean, it's almost like again, talk about prescriptions, right?
Yeah, prescriptions.
You go to the doctor, you tell him your symptoms, he writes a prescription, you go to the pharmacy, they give you the medication. But the medication, the prescription, really is only as powerful as the application of it. So he goes on further then to say, again, it's I think 7-9, the verses, but it says, all this stuff you've learned from me, everything, like everything you've learned from me, you've heard from me, that you've seen in my life, put it into practice. Mm-hmm. And then he says it again. And then you will experience God's peace. And it's like, man. So it's, again, it's easy to sit here and talk about all these things and, oh yeah, rejoice and trust and, you know, be unified, have contentment. And again, it's like, you don't know what I'm going through. But when those things, not just are read about and talked about or studied about in a Bible study, but actually put into practice, I think is where the difference is.
Mm-hmm. I do. I think it is a formula, like you're saying, or like a prescription of what you do. So as I sat here and I thought of a couple things, I opened up my Bible app because I wanted to get the right words and I didn't want to forget this, is that when we talk about unity, contentment, peace that passes all understanding, and this is in the New Reader's Version, and it says, like you said, don't worry about anything in verse 6. No matter what happens, tell God everything. Mm-hmm. So we're praying, we're sitting there, you know, we're asking God to do that work in our hearts. That's the first part of the formula. But this is the part where I think we forget. Then God's peace will watch over your hearts and your minds. And in some versions, and I think it's New International and ESV, it says guard. Mm-hmm. And I say this is that, I think we've said this in the past, that we can do all the trying and all the pursuing, but it's God's peace. Like I cook. I love to make things and I love to create things and I like to make things taste good. But that's kind of like what God's doing. Like he's the one, it's God's peace coming in, creating in us that peace that's perfect, that passes all understanding. Mm-hmm. And it's guarding our hearts and our minds. And I say that because a lot of times we talk about the heart-mind connection, with, especially with kids. Mm-hmm. You know, you might know it up here. And Paul throughout Philippians has all talked about knowledge and understanding. Mm-hmm. And then he gets to this part and he's like, hold on. It's not just knowledge and understanding, but it's your heart, it's your passions, it's your aims, like we talked about. Mm-hmm. It goes straight back to what is your goal? What is the aim that you have in your life? Is it Christ? Is he the center? And in that then, when you allow his peace, him to make you who you need to be, mm-hmm. then his peace will rule your hearts. And I think a lot of times we're just type A personalities.
Oh,
and
yeah.
we're in there creating our own peace.
Get it done.
Well,
give me
but
peace.
Also, like, think about this. How many times, I don't know about you, Dustin, what do you do to create peace? I know sometimes I just totally, like, disengage. Like, I'd rather just disengage from things, step outside, go for a walk, put on my headphones, and talk to nobody. That creates peace. Mm. But that's also not always the best.
That's not how I deal with peace.
How do you do it?
To get peace, I feel like I have to address whatever it is immediately for me to feel peace. And sometimes that's rash and impulsive, and Francie hates it when I do that. But that's for me. Anyway, mm-hmm. Dustin?
Right. The sun gives me peace. Mm. So I like being outside. I like being by. It just, yeah, I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Gives me peace. But, I mean, yeah, like we're talking about, it's, again, it's this idea of worldly peace versus like God's peace. And worldly peace, what we know is a couple of things, right? It's, we know for a fact that it's temporary. I mean, it we may have peaceful seasons. We may mm-hmm, feel mm-hmm. at peace at times, you know, for like moments, stretches of time. We know that. And it's.
But then you get this interruption and then all of a sudden it's just downhill.
Right. Right.
And you have a, what'd you call it last podcast? A throwaway day.
Yeah,
a
throwaway day.
Oh, yeah. You know?
Don't have too many of those. Yeah, yeah. But just the idea that it's not, you know, it's temporary, but it's also, it's just, it's not real. Like, it's fake. Like, it's, again, mm-hmm. it may feel it, it may, however, but it's not the real, true peace.
Mm-hmm. Angie, you talked about your head and your heart, and we have a class here at Walk EMC called Equip. And we're doing a training right now with an organization called Michiana Biblical Counseling Center. And this whole idea of head, heart, hands.
Yes, there's a third.
There's
yes.
a third mm-hmm. piece to that, right? Mm-hmm. And so when Paul emphasizes the importance of being selfless and humble and caring towards one another within the body of Christ, I think that's the hands, right? Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways. And so we talk about unity and contentment and finding peace, and the questions sometimes come up, well, how do you do that? And we're all broken people, so we deal with it in the wrong ways. But Paul emphasizes, well, you got to be selfless. You got to be humble. And you got to be caring towards one another. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, all of us can look at that and say, well, that's subjective in a lot of ways, right? Like selflessness can be subjective to what you think it looks like. And humble definitely is in our culture subjective. And care, there's so many layers of care. And Angie, you said you're actually studying what humility mm-hmm. looks like. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that.
I was just going to say, okay, is this my point to say this has probably been one of those seasons that God's taken me on a journey? Because I don't think we actually dive into like word study or like maybe a character trait of Jesus that until he like takes us through an experience and mm-hmm. you're like, what is humility? Well, it's not just saying, you know, oh, I'm just going to be, oh, it's okay. You know, I'm just going to kind of blend into the background mm-hmm. and just, you know, not be noticed, not be important. Mm-hmm. God's been working on my heart in mm-hmm. so many ways that if you look into this a little bit, a lot of times in our culture, humility is actually interpreted totally wrong, because intellectual humility is something that our entire culture is lacking. And mm-hmm. that is actually standing down when you know something is right, but God's called you to just keep your mouth shut.
You know what that takes? That takes some inner strength.
Oh, it's something that you build from inside of you that mm-hmm. it's like a volcano that is like trying to not erupt. And you're just saying, oh, I got to stand down. And Dan and I have talked a lot about this. And this is something that the Lord's taking me through in my own life experience right now. And what that looks like is not what I read back in the day when it talked about humility. And Paul's like, you know, look at to others' interests more than your own. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's kind of what I thought. It was like, oh, well, you know, I'll serve somebody and yeah. I'll give something to somebody and I'll care for somebody. But when that person is actually, versus you coming and helping them, coming at you,
yeah.
and he calls you to humility. Mm. That's a rough spot for me. I've had to really learn what that means.
Right. And I'm thinking, I know this was last podcast, we talked about Philippians 1 and 2, but how different would our relationships be truly if we lived, like this verse says in chapter 2, verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Thinking about all of your relationships and having the mindset of Christ in those relationships, how different they would be and how you would approach them thinking of them before you were thinking of yourself and what point you were trying to prove or get across or whatever. And it just, to me, it's, you want to talk about humbling. It's very humbling. But you were right, Angie, as you were talking, I mean, I think we look at the word humble as almost like being weak. And I think it's actually the very opposite of that. And just how much restraint sometimes it takes to not respond or apply certain ways when we feel like we could or should.
And I guess for me, like, I'm a black and white person. Okay. Like, I know Brant, you're raising your hand over here. You can't see it, listener, but he's like black and white too. And I know I can say that about you because it's like black and white give you the answers. Like, mm-hmm. this is the right way. Mm-hmm. This is the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Humility that we're talking about here doesn't even recognize right and wrong. It's saying, even if I'm right, God might be calling me to not do anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or calling me to submit.
Yeah.
In a way.
But not a sin submit.
No,
I
understand.
It's a submit of understanding that I'm submitting to him
to his
stand
authority.
Down.
Yeah.
To stand down and yeah. say, it doesn't matter if I'm right.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend right now going through a situation that's very relevant to this. And he's being asked to do something that it's not wrong per se, but he's countered it in a right way. But then he was able to say, and to one of the authorities in his life, I'll submit to your decision. But I don't know if it's the right way to go. And ultimately, they're going the direction he doesn't necessarily want to go, but he's able to show humility in that submission, knowing that maybe God has something bigger and better that he can't even see.
Goes back to what we said.
Yeah.
Is who do you believe God is?
Right.
You yeah. know what's cool about that?
Yeah.
That situation is that's a small, not small, let me say that. That is a decision that was made that very, very, very few people probably know. You know, yeah. like that he's, that had to happen. Mm-hmm. And so just the, it's not like he was doing it to say, hey, look at this thing that I'm doing and right. the sacrifice I'm making. So that's something that a lot of people will never know what was done. And so I think in our own lives, when we think about those decisions, the ones that maybe nobody or very, very few people will see or know about, will we be that same person in those situations as we are when people are watching, when people are around us?
Right. And I do think in the end, what Paul's saying is that we are to take on, like he began the whole book, you know, take on the mind of Christ, take on the humility, which was to even the point of death and yeah. death on the cross. And yeah. I don't often think that we tie humility to death, but it is a death to our will.
Yeah.
It's because,
yeah, that's good.
Because our will wants something. And our carnal nature, our sinful nature, and who we are, mm-hmm. and it is a submitting over to God, and saying, just as Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine." And that's a hard place sometimes. Mm. But the rejoicing, like we talked about, the pressing forward, like we talk about, it all comes back to because we've resigned ourselves to trust Him, yeah. rather than ourselves.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Any last thoughts on Philippians 3 and 4?
You ready, Destin? You're taking over the sermon on Sunday, and so we look forward to hearing from you.
Yes, we'll see, unless something happens. Then one of you guys has to be on standby, ready to rock and roll.
Well, you got it this time. I am not running your race for you at the marathon. Sorry.
Oh, shoot. Hey, Paul's words resonate across the centuries, reminding us to fix our eyes on Christ, to preserve the face of adversity, and to rejoice always, knowing that God's peace guards our hearts and minds. As we navigate the complexities of life, may we heed Paul's exhortation to press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, finding our ultimate fulfillment and satisfaction in Him alone.